God never said that. Has been interesting. It's been powerful. It's been eye-opening. Over the past 2 weeks, friends, we have heard how easy it can actually be to believe in something about God that sounds right. But over time, it quietly steers our faith off of course. Now, just a brief recap of the last 2 weeks. Dawn preached a wonderful message. God will never give you more than you can handle. And if you live in this world, you know that we have more than we can handle all the time. We discovered in week one that God doesn't promise an easy life. What He does promise is His presence and strength when life overwhelms us. Last week, Craig shared a message for me personally. It was probably the best message that I've ever heard on this topic. Forgive and forget. And we heard that God never asked us to deny our pain or actually erase the memory of what we've been through. But rather, He invites us into forgiveness that heals our hearts and sets us free. See, a free heart is available to serve the things of the kingdom and position themselves to actually be used by Jesus. Both of these weeks revealed something very important. And maybe you will sit here and go, oh my Lord. But this is what it revealed. God is far more interested in who you become in than the comfort that you might be feeling right now. And that brings us to another phrase many of us have assumed to be true. God just wants you to be happy. So when I woke up this morning, I was anything but happy. So, and I'm going to be quite honest with you. God's got quite a sense of humor, because in general, I don't think I walk around like this happy-go-lucky chappy face. I was like, hey, Lord, okay, let's unpack this series or this message and let's see where it lands. But I woke up, well, I've actually been fine the whole week, building up to this morning, yesterday, not well at all. I'm going to be very honest. By last night, I was vomiting. I don't know where that came from. I had an upset stomach. I woke up this morning. It didn't actually change much of the situation. Then I decided to shave my head, and I quickly was shaving my head. 6:15 this morning, I cut my head. At 8:30 this morning, my head is still bleeding. So I'm not so happy-go-lucky this morning. God just wants you to be happy. It sounds harmless, friends. It actually kind of sounds kind, right? But what if it were true? What do we do with suffering? What do we do with sacrifice and obedience when it comes our way? Or what about those seasons that feel anything but happy? Maybe you came in this morning and the season of your life that you're in, you're just not happy. Maybe you've come in with an understanding around this kind of stuff that you have heard this before and you'd have applied it to you. Now you find yourself in a place of not being happy, and now you don't quite know how to outwork this because you thought this is something that God has said. Today, we are going to discover that God's call on our life, the goal that He has for you and I, goes far deeper than temporary happiness that we experience. We will discover that He's shaping us, forming us, and drawing us into a relationship that is rooted in Him through the joy that He promises. Yes, the path to that kind of joy doesn't avoid hardships. So if you were expecting to hear some profound wisdom about how to get around the hardships that you are facing right now, I'm sorry to let you know that God's joy goes straight through it. God never said his highest priority was our happiness. But what he does say through Scripture leads to a joy that lasts, that endures. So I know, like me, all of you are sitting here asking the question. I'm standing, you sitting. So now I've just lost my whole train of thought. So if happiness isn't the goal, what is God actually after in our lives? And I am so glad that you're thinking that, that you've asked that question this morning, because this morning we are going to look at the difference between the happiness we chase to the joy God promises. That brings us, and Scripture is very clear about that distinction, and we're going to look at the distinction through Scripture through 3 points this morning. And the first point this morning is happiness is temporary, but the joy God promises is rooted and enduring. So living exclusively for happy moments, chasing happiness, is psychological and practically dangerous because it ignores the full spectrum of human experience, leading to inevitable disappointment, burnout, and a reduced resilience. By treating happiness as a target rather than a fleeting feeling, individuals often fall into a trap of constant self-defeating comparison where they feel worse the more they chase after happiness. When we say, friends, God just wants you to be happy, what we mean is that God wants us to feel good, be comfortable, satisfied with the way life is going. All of us have thought at one time or other, or maybe said it, you know, I just want a happy, simple life. We've heard that saying, happy wife, happy life. You know, just a happy life so that I don't have to deal with drama and hardships. You know, just to go through life, just having to just, you know, float, like almost like float on a cloud where there's no drama. Just like keep the drama on the side. Just a happy, simple life. Unfortunately, friends, happiness is almost always tied to circumstances. And you will be well aware, living in the world and in your life today, that our circumstances change, and they change all the time. Sometimes they're completely out of our control. You wake up in the morning and you've got a whole lot of new circumstances to deal with that you actually weren't prepared for. But on the other hand, friends, joy is something far deeper. It is rooted not in what is happening around you and the hardships, but it is rooted and who God is, and what God is doing within you. Jesus makes this clear in John chapter 15, verse 9, where he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Friends, did you notice what Jesus connects joy to? Not our comfort, not our circumstances, not our ease or not our success, not our spouse, not a friend, but remaining in his love through obedience. In other words, Jesus is saying, just as I have remained in my Father's love, and I've been obedient to what God is asking me to do, I'm now asking you to imitate that faith and that relationship by remaining and abiding in me in love. Do we get that? Through obedience. There's always a model and a pattern for us to follow, because that is the God that we serve. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, is not a human emotion that can be manufactured, but rather it is a gift cultivated by the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. In other words, there's a refining that takes place in you as you partner in relationship with Jesus, where that with joy. Another thing about joy that I just want to mention, joy is the natural response to recognizing the grace of God in your life. So when you're going through the hardship and you are growing in relationship with Jesus, that joy that springs up in you, that, well, you go, wow, God loves me, He cares, look how graceful, that is joy, because it's recognizing that the grace of God is in your life in the midst of the most difficult situation. God's grace is flowing, it's moving, it's repairing, it's healing, it's doing what it needs to do in order for us to be able to do what? To sustain what we're going through so that we can serve Jesus. Joy is relational, friends, before it is emotional. It grows out of intimacy with God. I'm going to say that again. Joy is relational before it is emotional. And from that place, it grows out of the intimacy that you are building with Jesus in your life. Joy grows out of intimacy with God, not favorable conditions. And James highlights this when he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Verse 4, not many of us like to be a part of this process. "Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Consider it pure joy, not because the trials feel so cozy and warm and good. Let's be honest. None of us like to, we don't enjoy it. But let's consider it pure joy because of what God is doing in us, the maturing of our faith, the transformation of our heart towards Him, so that we position ourselves to be lacking nothing and ready for the next circumstance that is on its way, because it is on its way. Scripture never promises that following Jesus will always be pleasant. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times where I've been wrestling with them because, Lord, I just don't like this, and I don't like the way it makes me feel, and why do I have to do this? I just want to do my own thing. But the call that is on your life and my life is so valuable. Sometimes we just got to stay and allow the Holy Spirit in us to refine us, and the men and women that God's put around us to help us refine the gifting that God has in us. Paul reminds us, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Scripture promises that following Jesus is always doesn't always feel pleasant, but it does promise that God is working. He continues to work. Even when you think that your situation is terrible, there is no fruit, it's just darkness. This is a promise from Him that He is working in that storm, in that hardship, in that circumstance. He never stops working because He is faithful. And what He says in Scripture, He holds by the faithfulness of God. Paul reminds us in Philippians 1 verse 6, it says, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." Friend, God is committed to the ongoing transformation in your life through the situation that you are facing right now. Transformation often happens in seasons that stretch us, refine us, and sometimes even break the expectation that we have what a good life looks like. Sometimes we kick out of it is because, oh no, this is not what I signed on for. But what we fail to see is what God is actually doing. When we start to see what the Lord is doing, that's where we start to operate a little bit more in perseverance, because we know that He is outworking something in us and where He's taking us. Friends, joy doesn't mean the absence of sorrow. It means the presence of God in it. And when we abide in Him, when we are going through difficult things, there was a promise that I read earlier. He said, when you remain in me, my joy will be in you, and your joy will be made complete. It goes on a little bit more. If we have the joy of Jesus in us, no situation, no circumstance, no hardship, no whatever that you are going through, can that thing be stolen? It can't be taken, because it's from Jesus. God's goal is transformation, and transformation leads to deeper joy. Point number two, when we believe God's goal for your and my life is our happiness, then anything uncomfortable that comes along the way is just a big problem in my life. And we don't know how to unwork it, because now I'm not happy. But Lord, I thought you said you were going to make me happy, and this isn't making me happy. So then what do you do? Is this making sense? And now hopefully it's opening up something, because we run after something that is so temporary, and then when we get stuck in this theology of understanding, so theology can actually shape the way you live your life, by the way. So if your theology is around God just wants to make you happy, you're going to live a life on your knees, not in surrender, but in desperation. If you don't understand this. When we believe God's goal is our happiness, then anything uncomfortable, I know I mentioned that, feels like a problem. But if God's goal is transformation, then even in difficult situations, take on a new meaning for us, because we understand that God is working something out in your heart. I've said this many times to people, and I remind myself on this daily. Whatever I'm going through right now, God is wanting to see my heart transformed in the midst of what I'm going through. Not the other way around. So often we go, when this changes, I will do this. But God's saying, I want to see your heart transformed here. I want to see the way you think change. I want to see you trusting me and pressing into me. I want to see you serving in the local church, because that's what I've called you to. I don't want your circumstance to pull you away because it is just a bit too difficult, and because of your theology that maybe you think I'm only here to make you happy. Scripture is clear that God is shaping us, friends. And Peter writes, just as he who calls you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Holiness does not mean perfection. It means being set apart, formed in the likeness of Jesus. So all of us, Satinia, including me, we love to partake in the glory of Jesus. We love the testimonies, and we love the blessings, and we just lavish us, Lord, in your love and your grace. Come on. But not many of us like to partake in the suffering of Christ. And if you go read in the Word, it's very clear that we become more like Christ through our suffering than we do in the glory of Jesus. Because it's very clear, it says, when we suffer in the body for the kingdom's sake, for faith's sake, for Jesus, for the gospel, when we suffer in the body for those things, that's when we become more like Jesus. So we partake in the glory, but maybe from this day forward, we position ourselves to do what? To embrace the suffering of Christ that is coming into our lives, because now we understand what God is trying to do. He's trying to conform us to the likeness of Jesus. Transformation often involves surrendering, pruning, and saying no to things that promise happiness but ultimately leave us empty. Sometimes we've got to be brave and trust God and just cut certain things off. Because those very things that we're already running after in our lives that leave us empty, even though we think they bring in happiness, we already know what they are. I want to encourage you, by faith, trust in the Lord, start to prune it away from you so God can allow what He wants to grow in your life. Paul reminds us again in Philippians 1 verse 6 that God finishes what He starts. What a wonderful promise that you and I have from the Almighty King. It doesn't matter where you're sitting right now in your walk with the Lord, it's a promise that He's going to finish what He started in your life. Friend, God is not withholding joy from you today. Maybe He's forming a heart in you that can sustain it. Happiness seeks relief. Holiness seeks renewal. Happiness needs God to change the situation. Lord, please change this for me. I've been here. Lord, I can't take this anymore. Please change it. I'll just feel happy. And then I'm constantly reminded, that's not the end goal, because then tomorrow, when something makes you unhappy, you're going to be back in the same place, Ryan. So maybe you're going to actually stay in this place, Ryan, of being unhappy for a while till you catch it, what I'm trying to do here. God's not afraid to leave us in desert experiences. He's a very confident, secure God, like the Israelites. He left them there for 40 years. He wasn't being mean. He wanted the unbelief in them to die. He wanted faith to rise and them to step into who they had been called to. The deepest joy flows from a life aligned with God's purposes. When we are trusting God, we discover that joy is something not to be chased after. It is something that grows as we are rooted in Him. You know, I quickly just want to, I love the story of Lazarus, where he's died, and I want to fast forward, because we often we go like, but you don't know what I'm going through. Some of us are sitting here today, have experienced loss. How do you process that in it? You know, one of the most amazing things about Jesus, I always just think about it this way. When He was on His way to Lazarus, He knew exactly what was going to take place. He was going to raise him from the dead. But He didn't bypass Mary and Martha. He didn't bypass them. Like, okay, guys, I know you're very upset. I'm going to quickly go there, raise Lazarus from the dead, and you can be happy again. He didn't do that. What I love about Him is that He engages them where they're at. Isn't it interesting to think about it? It's like He knew He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but yet He wept. He wept out of compassion for how Mary felt. He wept out of compassion for Lazarus and the friends. But He doesn't just quickly bypass them to go do that. He calls them and He says, now come with me. Jesus wants to meet us where we're at. And then He wants to walk with us on this journey of outworking our feelings and our emotions that are going to be restored back to grace, to faith. And He wants us to see the miracles along the way with them in our lives and the restoration with them. He doesn't bypass and you come back, oh, no. He wants to partner with you. It's a union. It's a relationship. He wants you to experience the very will of God. Lasting joy is found in trusting God through every season. One of the reasons the phrase God just wants you to be happy doesn't hold up is because happiness depends on the season that we are in. When life is smooth, I feel awesome. I literally do feel awesome when life is smooth. We all do. When life is painful, happiness seems so out of reach and you're grabbing at empty space and air because I'm just not happy. Life is painful and difficult. Joy, friends, is not seasonal. It is sustained. Jesus says in John 15, He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The joy God promises, friends, doesn't come from avoiding hardships. It comes from abiding and remaining in Him, Jesus. It is not the reward of a problem-free life that all of us are actually running after, and we find ourselves unhappy. That's not it. It is the fruit of a life rooted in Christ. Joy does not deny grief. So please don't hear what I'm saying. We don't just ignore it. Joy does not deny grief. But you know what it does? Joy coexists with it. Trusting God through every season means choosing obedience, even in the most difficult situation that you find yourself in, that you're going to trust God, not make your own plan. Scripture reminds us repeatedly that joy is sustained by hope. And Romans 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace." And we love it when we hear that. Lord, fill us. But what does the scripture go on to say? "As you trust in me." So, and as we trust in God for joy and peace, friends, this is the product of trusting God as we walk in that. It says, "So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hope allows us to say in the most difficult seasons of our life and circumstance, "God, I don't feel happy right about now, but I trust you." That only happens, friends, when we are anchored in Jesus, in relationship, in union, in intimacy with Him. And when we remain and abide in Him, I'm going to mention it again because it's key to this. His joy in us becomes our joy completed. And no situation or circumstance can steal that from you. Why don't we stand together this morning as we finish off? But I do want to just mention this about happiness. I don't want to leave everyone going, "Gee whiz, you know, I never want to feel happy again." Happiness isn't a bad thing. Okay, it's actually a gift that when we use it correctly in the right experience, it's actually a gift. But it was never God's highest priority for our lives and the goal, and it's something that you and I shouldn't chase after. God is after something deeper, friends. He is forming you, shaping you, rooting you in Him. And just to put this all together, because there's been so many different things. His holiness, Christ's holiness, is our sanctuary. His ongoing work in us is our transformation. His hope becomes our hope. His joy in us completes our joy. And how do we bring this all together and live this life? As we trust Him, as we continue to abide and remain in Him, as we are rooted in Him, as we seek after the intimacy that He wants to have with us. Amen.
Before Ryan prays for us, I want to just say, in the book of John, Jesus is speaking and He says, the branches that don't bear fruit, He cuts off. Some guys say that's lifting up, and He does, but if you just look at the Greek there, he removes it from the vine, or He moves it from that place that's in, because it's not bearing fruit. So we might go like, "Hey, that's obviously like bad stuff in my life." Okay. And then He says, and all the ones that are bearing fruit, He prunes. So I don't know if you realize it, but it's the same process. Cutting off means He's snipping. And pruning means He's snipping. But we go like, "That's bad, so God must remove it. But this is actually good, so I'm going to keep this." And the Lord says, "Yeah, it's actually not moving you into the joy that I need in your life. I'm going to be pruning that." And so we fight that thinking it's the devil. Because it's a good thing. But it's bearing fruit. And He says, "No, what bears fruit, He prunes, so it bears more fruit." Amen? And often the things that we think make us happy, as I've said before, happiness, it comes from the English word originally, happenstance, which really is another word for lucky. Remember that? "Hey, wish me luck. I'm writing an exam today." Okay. There's no such thing as luck. Amen. If you studied, you're not going to. If you haven't studied, you're not going to do well. But I'm going to pray and trust that you, you know, it brings to remembrance what you have studied. But the thing is this: it's actually not luck. It's because happiness. Have you seen the end of the month salty cracks? Who's heard of that? End of the month salty cracks. Hey, down in the dump, mouth is on the floor. Why? Hey, no money. Then I get paid. Woohoo! Or it's Friday and I'm happy, but come Monday, because everything is based on my circumstance. And the Lord might actually remove some stuff from your life that you might think is good, but it's not bringing you joy. It's rooted in the world and rooted in a happiness feeling. Amen? So, Ryan, why don't you pray for us? We can raise our hands somehow and respond to that stuff.
So if you feel that there's stuff that's just holding you back from actually just entering into this, the joy that God's promises us, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith by just lifting your hands up. This is between you and the Lord. God knows exactly where we are all at today. My hand is up. I wish it could be higher, but it's not. So, Father, you see the hands that are going up this morning, Father. You know the very things that are, you know, that the low-hanging fruits that you're asking them to prune off of themselves so that you can start to do what you do through your intimacy with them, Father. So, Father, as those hands are raised, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you bring in wisdom and you bring in revelation, Lord, that you are changing a posture of looking for happiness for them to seeking out your joy in your mighty name, Father God. And as every single person goes away this morning, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are going to continue to speak to them and bless them and be found in them. In your mighty name, we said, amen.